Joshua chapter 5, I want to start right there this morning. Verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Just a small excerpt of a story that's part of a much bigger story. So this story is about Joshua in the early days of his leadership to the nation of Israel. If you go back to chapter 1 in Joshua, you're going to find that it opens with these words, paraphrased, but basically, Moses, who was my servant and faithful for so long, has died. Joshua, it's now your turn. I'm paraphrasing, but you know, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, lead the people. And that's how the story of Joshua opens. Joshua is being given charge by God himself to take lead over the nation of Israel, who are God's children, God's people. And God gave Joshua a promise in verse 9 of that first chapter. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." That's the promise that God gives Joshua. He says, "I am sending you to lead Israel. Now go. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Don't be a scared," my father would say. "Don't be a scared. I will be with you wherever you go." And in the opening chapters of Joshua, Joshua 1 to the passage we read in 5, Joshua does a bunch of things in the nation of Israel to set things in order. And Joshua puts things back in order. He starts with taking the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know if you know this, but you know, there's a movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, from a long time ago. It's that same ark that they're supposedly looking for. But God had told Moses how to build this ark. And it was a rectangular box covered in gold with a special lid with angel seraphims with their wings outstretched. And God said, "I am going to come and my presence is going to rest on that ark." That's where God's presence would be, on that ark. But through 40 years of wandering in the desert, God's presence actually led Israel with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And it's now time for Joshua to lead them into the promised land. That's his first command. God says, "Joshua, take my people, bring them into the land I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Bring them into the land I told them about. And my presence is going to go before you, and you need the ark to lead my presence." And then with that ark leading them, he led them across the Jordan River. And again, the Jordan River opened up, and across they went, the ark leading the way, the presence of God leading the way for Israel. That was the picture that God told Joshua to use. And they're leading the ark and the people, and that they stop. Some of you remember a couple of years ago, if you were here, we preached it. They took the stones from the middle of the river, and they carried them to the first site in the promised land called Gilgal. And Joshua built a monument with those 12 stones representing the 12 tribes. 12 boulders more than stones. And he said to the people of Israel, "When you see this, remember the faithfulness of your God. He brought you out of slavery. He brought you through the desert experience. He brought you to the promised land." And then there's a weird part to the story. But Joshua had all the men circumcised at Gilgal. But it's a sign. It's a picture that says you belong to God. It's also a sign that says you remember that God's delivered you from the promised land. And then the last thing they did is they celebrated the Passover meal, We celebrated communion today. Our communion service, our communion remembrance comes out of the Passover meal. That bread that Jesus broke was part of the Passover meal. The cup that Jesus used was one of the four cups of the Passover celebration. And he said, this is the new celebration. You remember when God brought people out of slavery of Egypt, but Jesus is going to take you out of the slavery of sin through my body and my blood. And so they celebrated Passover. Now, it's only the third time in Israel's history that they've celebrated Passover. The night in Egypt, a year after their escape from Egypt, and now about 39 years later. So they celebrated Passover, and when they celebrated Passover, the manna that God gave them through 40 years in the desert stopped. Because now they were in the promised land, and they could eat the produce of the promised land. And that's the background. But you need to understand that background to understand this little story that's stuck here between this and there's a story, we don't have time for it today, but there's Jericho. It's going to play a part in today, but Jericho becomes a city that they're going to overtake. And between coming into the promised land and overtaking Jericho, we read this story we read this morning. And the story opens up with these words as Joshua is near Jericho. So what you have to understand is Gilgal is just a little way, and Joshua's going to travel down towards Jericho. And I have this picture in my mind. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have funny pictures. I have this picture of Joshua sneaking up over the hills. And I don't even know if there were hills, but there probably were. And he sneaks up on the hills, and he leaves his camp behind. He leaves everybody in Gilgal. And he alone sneaks up to look out over Jericho. See, he's already had a report back in the earlier chapters. He sent spies, Rahab, if any of you know your Bible, the story of Rahab. He has the report of the spies. Jericho is a big city, a mighty city, a fortified city. And Josh says, I'm going to check this out for myself. And so I picture him. I picture him in his dressed in his battle fatigues. I picture him with his face all painted up so nobody could see him, you know, with the black and the brown and the green. And he sneaks up and he kind of peeks between the bushes. Ah, there it is. Oh, yeah. It looks big. Holy moly. Look at the size of those walls. Rubs his eyes. Am I seeing right? Oh, that's Jericho. Yeah. Looks scary. Looks big. Looks hard. See, Jericho was probably the largest fortified city of that time in that region. And Joshua knows that now that they've crossed over into the promised land and landed in Gilgal, they need to get across Jericho. And as he sits on his hilltop, hiding behind the bushes, I think through his mind went, I don't get this. You told me not to be terrified, not to be scared. You told me that you would be with me, but that city is big. See, Jericho is going to be the first obstacle that Israel comes to as they go to conquer the promised land. Now, if you and I were drawing the battle plans, I do not believe this is what we would do. Anybody who's a military strategic person might agree, but I don't. Now, I always think, you know, you need to build your scale, right? You need to start with something easy, conquer it, and move to something a little bit harder, right? And we build our way up. We gain momentum. We gain ability. We gain wisdom. We grow in our strength. We grow in our power, you know? But God says, we're doing this the God way. And the God way says we take out Jericho first. The natural way says we don't start with Jericho. The natural is we avoid the biggest problem. But God says, no, I want you to tackle Jericho first. See, Israel is not a military nation. They're a nomadic nation. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. Military nations have boomerangs and batarangs and catapults and those big towers on wheels that they move up so they can climb up the tower and get over a wall. What's Israel got? A slingshot? A couple of little spears for maybe hunting? I mean, they didn't even need to hunt in the desert. God gave them food. And Joshua's looking through his bush. Ooh, yeah, that's big. And then I think something inside him said, but my God is bigger. And as Joshua's there trying to figure everything out, as he's scouting out the land and the city, the Bible says he comes across a man. Now, I don't know what the man looked like, but I have my imagination. I could be wrong, but I think it's a big, tall man, big and broad. I think he's decked out in a warrior's outfit because he's got a sword and it's drawn. You know what a drawn sword means? It means run. He's got a drawn sword in his hand. But Joshua doesn't run because you remembered the promise, I will be with you. So he walks up to this man and he questions him. He says, are you for us or for our enemies? Whose side are you on? Are you with me or against me? Because if you're with me, I'm good. Yeah. If you're not with me, you've got trouble. Are you with us or for our enemies? And the answer that this warrior, this man, gives him is neither. Neither. Wait a minute. How can you be neither for me or for my enemies? How can you not be with me and not be with them? How is it that anybody could be neither? See, but we're about to learn something about this man, this warrior. He's not an ordinary man. He's not an ordinary warrior. He says, I am the commander of the Lord's army. He describes and he names himself. Now, I've got news for you. There's only one commander of the Lord's army. And up until this moment, Joshua thought it was him. But he realizes it. I am the commander of the army of the Lord. See, Joshua is being visited by God himself. Because God alone is the commander of the Lord's army. God alone is the one who's in control. And that's why he is neither. See, because God doesn't pick sides. I've joked with you. I've told you that I'm God's favorite. Haven't I? You remember? Anybody remember that? But you remember the second part to that? You're God's favorite too. If you're a parent with multiple children, you get it. Neither. See, God's not for me and against you. God's not for you and against her. God's not for me and not you. And God's not for you and not for me. Let me rephrase that. God's not for you and not for me. That's why I said it right. God is neither. God is for everyone. God is for all of us. He sent his only son into the world to die on the cross and resurrect from the dead so that no one should perish. Are you for me or for my enemies? Neither. I am with all of you. I am for all of you. I love all of you. I care about all of you. Neither. I am the commander of the Lord's army. This is a life-changing revelation for Joshua. Because it takes all that weight of leading Israel. It takes all the weight of being the leader to follow Moses. It takes all the weight off of Joshua, and it outputs the weight where it dutifully belongs on the shoulders of Lord Almighty. This is Israel, his people, his children, his problem. I am the commander of the Lord's army. And God is making it clear that he's the one in charge. That Joshua just needed to surrender to who God is and to what God says. And we need to learn that same secret. We need to understand that God is the one who is in charge of our lives, even though we like to pretend we are. We need to get rid of self-sufficiency and trust in God's sufficiency. We need to start thinking it's up to us to carry the burden. We need to understand the commander of the Lord's army can carry the burden for you. We need to let go of thinking we need to have all the answers. We need to understand that the battle is not ours, it is the Lord's. That comes out of the story of David and Goliath. Where David said, I don't fight against just a giant. God's in control. Paraphrase. Joshua is about to learn that the battle of Jericho is not the battle of Joshua. It's the battle of the Lord God Almighty. He's about to understand that the way to defeat Jericho is not through man's wisdom. It's through God's power. And God's power alone. This warrior stands before Joshua and says, I am the commander of the Lord's army. I am neither for you or against you. I am with you. I am with you. I alone am the commander. I alone am here. I am here now. Watch me lead. And sometimes we get that so backwards. And we figure, oh, look how lucky God is. I went to church today. God, you must be so happy with me. Sometimes we tell God what our plans are. And we enter, and Lord, bless my plans. And this story is showing us that we've got it backwards. We need to let go of our own self-sufficiency and start trusting in God's sufficiency. We need to come to this place where our prayer is in God. These are my plans. Where our prayer is God, what is your plan for my life? God, what is your plan for my career? God, what is your plan for my life? God, what is your plan for my family? God, what is your plan for my children? God, what is your plan for my money? Ooh. Oh, I was okay till there. God, what is your plan? What is it you want? The story goes on to tell us that when this man, this warrior with a drawn sword says, I am the commander of the army of the Lord, Joshua falls face down. Because Joshua realizes everything I've just explained to you. That this is no man, this is no warrior, this is no soldier, this is God himself. That God has appeared to Joshua in a manner like he appeared to Moses before him. He recognizes that God is in the room. And he falls face down. And we need to learn to recognize God. We need to understand that God wants to reveal himself to us. You're not likely going to see a soldier with a drawn sword. Because that was Joshua's. We don't see that repeated throughout Scripture. We see it here. Just like we only see a burning bush for Moses, although my prayer for years was, God, I want my own burning bush. I did. I'm being honest. When I was younger, God, I want a burning bush where you can speak to me. And one day God said, that was for Moses. Basically, you're barking up the wrong tree. again. God, I'm going to tell you what to do. We need to learn to recognize God for who he is. God wants our reverence. He wants us to bow our lives before him like Joshua did that day. To learn to walk with him and to learn to trust him and to learn to hear him. I want you to see this. It's while Joshua is moving towards Jericho that God shows up. It's when Joshua's left the safety of the camp at Gilgal with at least a million other people. When he goes out by himself and he walks towards the next great obstacle called Jericho, as he's peering behind that bush looking out, it's at that very moment, when maybe he's low. It's at that very moment when he doesn't know what to do. It's at that very moment when the obstacle looks so big. It's at that very moment when he doesn't feel he has an answer. It's at that very moment as he leaves Gilgal and he moves towards Jericho. It's at that very, very moment that God shows up. It's at that moment. I mean, Joshua could have been taking it easy. He could have said, I did it. We got to the promised land. Moses, you circled for 40 years, but I got us here. He could have been kicking back at the banks of the Jordan River, casting his fishing line. Oh, fresh salmon. I don't know if there's salmon in the Jordan River. Just pretend, okay? I told you, I get funny pictures. Wasn't having a clam bake. He wasn't sitting there just, oh glory, we made it into the promised land. Oh wonderful, I set up this monument. Oh people, look at that monument and remember. No, Joshua knew that this was just the beginning. He wasn't told to take the people to the promised land. He was told to take the people and conquer the promised land. See, so many times we stop short of what God wants. So many times we think, well, I made it to the promised land. Hallelujah. Here I sit where the glory comes down. And that's great for a season, but a very, very short season, because there's work to be done. It's not just get into the promised land, it's conquer the promised land. So here he is scouting out Jericho. It's at that very moment God shows up. We need to recognize what we're doing. Sometimes we want God to act on our behalf, but we refuse to act on his command. Sometimes we want God to bless what we're doing, but we don't do what God says. Pastor, how do I know what God says? I'm so glad you asked me that, because I'm going to give you the secret. Read the book. Oh, but it's so boring. Well, don't read Leviticus. Let's just be honest. It's not really boring, it's just really hard. Don't get trapped up in Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Start with the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're going to go through John's miracles in the series that starts next week. Because in those Gospels, you'll find a lot of this. And Jesus said. And whenever you see "and Jesus said," pay attention. Because he's talking to you and me. You want, what's God's command? What did Jesus say? Love your neighbor as yourself. What did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God. Jesus said, if you do those two things, everything else falls into place. And we love God until God says, put an extra $100 in the offering plate. But I'm saving. Put the extra $100 in the offering plate. No, God, you don't understand. Christmas is 3 months away. Yeah. Sometimes we want God to act on our behalf, but we refuse to act on his command. That's where Joshua is. See, God doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants your obedience. God wants your obedience. And God comes to us today in the power and the presence of Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is constantly at your side. He is your helper. He is your comforter. He is your defender. Jesus said this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. It's John 14:16. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a helper called Holy Spirit. He will always be with you. He will never leave you. You will need to know him and you will learn to trust him. You will have to learn to listen to him. You will need to spend time with him. You will need to be filled by him. Gordon, if you would come back, please. The story's not over yet. As Joshua's lying there face down before God, he basically says, what do you want me to do? What message does the Lord have for his servant? See, the battle is impossible on our own. As Joshua lies there face down before God, he realizes he's got no power, he's got no ideas, he's got no understanding of how to beat Jericho. You'll notice he doesn't rush for the presence of God and hide. He embraces the presence of God. What message does the Lord have for his servant? In fact, he says, my Lord, my Lord. Not the God out there, my God. Not the God who's unknown, my God. Not the God that I'm trying to figure out, my God. Joshua's reminding us that we need to learn to ask God for instructions. And when we ask, we need to listen. And again, we do the same thing over and over again. Because we're not perfect yet. God, I want you to do this, but this is what I want. God, I want you to move in my life, but God, this is where I want you to move. God, I want you to change the situation in my life, and this is how I want you to change it. We need to learn to ask for instructions. But here's what sometimes holds us back, I think. Sometimes we're afraid of what God might say. We're afraid of what God might put his finger on in our lives and say, fix this, change this, drop this, add this. Sometimes we're afraid of what God might ask us to do. You know, God, you can always fix them. I'm okay. We're afraid of what God might want to change in our life. Oh, we want to serve God and we want to love God, but God, don't cramp my style, you know. Like, I've got a life plan, God. I'm on track for my life goals and I'll love you and I'll serve you and I'll do whatever you say, but don't mess with my plan. You need to understand, God will only answer you when you really mean what you ask. See, because God doesn't just judge our words, God judges our heart. God just doesn't judge what we say. He judges our intent. You can come to church and look like you've got your life all together, but God knows it's a mess. And you ready for this little secret? You need to see this. Because sitting in this room, every one of us have messes in our lives. And sometimes we're too afraid to say that because everybody else looks like they've got it all together. And we think we're the only one messed up. But Joshua's story tells us that we are all in need of the warrior God in our lives. We're all in need of the need to fall face down before him. We are all in need of needing. Say, God, what do you have for me? What do you say for me? In really simple, God says, take off your sandals. Joshua takes off his sandals. Now, if you know your stories, you know God said that to Moses at the burning bush. Take off your sandals. So I think God is doing a few little things here. He's saying to Joshua, you're no better, you're no worse than Moses. Moses had to take off his sandals, so do you. I was with Moses, I will be with you. I'm the one in charge under Moses, and I'm the one in charge under you. I'm the one in charge. Take off your sandals. It's a simple request. It's a sign of full surrender. It's the first step of obedience here in this story. It's laying down your personal will and your personal choices to do whatever it is God says to do. Simple or hard, complicated or easy. What does God say? What does God want? Take off your sandals. It's a picture of Joshua coming under God's authority. How many of you figuratively need to take off your sandals today? How many of you figuratively need to come to that place where you say, okay, God, whatever you say, I'm ready to do it. Okay, God, I'm ready to bend my will to your will. I'm ready to let you be the one in charge. See, after this, we didn't read it, but after this, the next part of the story is God tells Joshua, Jericho looks impossible to you. Here's the plan. Here's the battle plan. And there's no battling involved. Just obey what I tell you. If you don't know the end of the story, God tears those walls right down. And Israel beats Jericho. Just like David beat Goliath. The battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. Sometimes you want to do great things for God, but you're not willing to do the simple things for God first. If you want a victory in your life, you need to surrender your life. You need to give it up to God. That's the first place. Oh, it sounds a lot easier than it is. Some days you're going to have to surrender 14 times a day. Sometimes you're going to surrender 14 days in a row. You want to see God? You need to be obedient to God. You need to obey what he tells you and what he says. You want God to move in your life? You need to let his will replace your will. Oh, we've all got a will, and it's stubborn. It comes back to surrendering. You want God to use you? You need to come under his authority. Would you stand with me as the rest of the worship team comes back? It's only in obedience to God that we experience his power flowing through our lives. You want God to move in your life, you need to actively go after God. It's not likely you're going to get a meeting with a warrior with a drawn sword. Not saying it's impossible, I'm just saying he's already done that. Just like the burning bush. But you need to actively in your spirit go after God. You need to stop being passive. You need to stop just sitting and saying, okay, God, you know, here I am, sitting by the riverbanks, fishing for my salmon, waiting for you to show up. Some of you need to go towards your Jerichos. Some of you need to peer out from behind the bushes. Oh, I had bushes here. Some of you need to go towards the thing that you're afraid of. Some of you need to walk towards the things that are the most difficult. Because as you go towards the things that are most difficult in your life, God will meet you there. God knew Joshua's heart. I don't know how I'm going to beat that city, but you said possess the land. I have no clue. God shows up and says, take off your sandals. Come under my authority. Let me be the commander of the Lord's army. And today God is saying to you, let me be the commander of your life. And God says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I've promised you a Holy Spirit. One who will lead you and guide you. One who will share with you all truth. One who will show you the way. One who will bring the word of God to life. One who will scratch that itch in your spirit. The one who will put his finger on the problem spots. The one who says, take off your sandals. It's only in obedience to God that we experience His power flowing through our lives. How many of you need to surrender to God this morning? How many of you need to give your problems to God this morning? How many of you need to give your life to God this morning? How many of you need to give your surrender to God this morning? How many of you need to give your will to God this morning? How many of you need to let His Spirit fill your spirit? How many of you need to let God into your lives today in a new and real way? I'm going to make this real easy. If you want more of God this morning, I invite you to come to the front. I know we're a few minutes longer than normal, but I invite you to just come. The worship team is going to lead us in a song. It says, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And as you sing that this morning, I want you to proclaim that over your own life. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You're welcome here. We're not going to come and pray with you this morning. That's not the intent. The intent is how many of you need to walk towards your Jericho this morning? How many of you need to come to that place where you hear God say to you in the spirit realm, take off your sandals? How many of you need to come under God's authority this morning? Would you come? Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to be the light in our lives. Holy Spirit, we ask you to be our conviction. Holy Spirit, we ask that the Word of God would become alive to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would make us thirsty for God's Word. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would make us thirsty for God's presence. Holy Spirit, make us obedient to Jesus' words. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives. We ask you to speak to us, to direct us, and to lead us. Holy Spirit, help us to love. Jesus said we're to love like He loved. Help us to love. Watch over us. To all those who were bold enough to move towards their Jerichos this morning, to all who came to the front today, Father, I ask that you would cover them with your grace and your mercy. Lord, that you would open spiritual ears to hear and spiritual eyes to see. That this week, oh God, you would reveal yourself to them in a new and unusual way. Lord, that they would come into a place where Holy Spirit is more real to them than ever before. Because you are the God of your word. Lord, we ask that you would go with us. That you would lead us this week. God, that for every person in this room, Lord, that you would give us a God encounter this week. For every person in this room, you would give us an opportunity to cross paths with someone who needs to know the love and power of the living God. That you would empower us this week to live for you fully and unconditionally. And we'll give you the glory and the honor in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.